Brothers and sisters in the Lord, today is the seventh Sunday after Easter, which makes it the Sunday of Pentecost. Remember, our Lord was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. He appeared to his disciples and instructed them during the course of 40 days. Then he ascended into heaven to sit down at the right hand of God with all authority and dominion. And then almost a week and a half following our Lord's ascension, he poured forth the gift of the Holy Spirit upon his disciples while they were gathered together in Jerusalem. And that's what Pentecost celebrates. At Pentecost, we remember the gift of the Holy Spirit. We remember how the Lord Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit upon his people, just as he had promised to do. And so today we're going to focus upon the gift of the Spirit. And to do this, we're going to look at two passages from the Gospel according to John. The texts today are John 15, verses 26 and 27, and then John 16, verses 12 through 14. Now, to give you some background, these two passages come from the section of John's Gospel that is known to us as the Upper Room Discourse. This is the teaching that our Lord Jesus gave to his disciples on the very night in which he was betrayed. And during this time of instruction, our Lord spoke to his disciples of one who was going to come to them. He speaks to them of a counselor or advocate or helper whom he was going to send to them, namely the Holy Spirit of God. So let's listen together to these two passages. First of all, John 15, 26 and 27. It says, "When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." And then John 16, verses 12 through 14, Jesus says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." Thus far the reading of God's word, let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that through the Spirit, you would grant understanding to your people as we consider your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, on the day of Pentecost, our Lord Jesus, who is now in heaven at the right hand of God, bestowed on his church the gift of the Spirit. We see that, of course, in the second chapter of the book of Acts. On Pentecost, the church received the Holy Spirit. However, the Bible also shows us that Pentecost was not the beginning of the Spirit's work in believers. The Spirit's work in God's people did not begin at Pentecost. In fact, as you read through the pages of the Old Testament and on into the New Testament, it's very clear that the Holy Spirit has always been at work among the Lord's people. Believers in all eras have known and experienced the ministry of God's Spirit. Believers in the Old Testament experienced the work of the Spirit upon their hearts, just as the Lord's people do today. Remember, it was King David, the Old Testament believer. King David prayed in Psalm 51 to God, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And of course, believers in the Old Testament sang those very words as well as they sang that psalm, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." In the Old Testament, we read of people being clothed with God's Spirit or filled with the Spirit, people like Gideon and Samson and many others. We read of the Spirit coming upon people in great power, much as the Spirit came upon the church in great power on the day of Pentecost. In other words, as we read the Bible, we see that the Holy Spirit has always been at work among the people of God. Old Testament, New Testament, God's people have always known and experienced the work of the Spirit of the Lord. But that brings us then to an important question. What is new about the Spirit's work at Pentecost and in the New Testament church? What is new about the work of the Spirit after the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because clearly something wonderfully new happened at Pentecost. Pentecost is presented to us as one of the great moments in biblical history. Something new began on that day when the Lord Jesus sent the Spirit to his people. But what was it? Well, as I indicated a couple of days ago in my video devotional, I believe that part of the answer is that the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost makes God's people into a temple in which the Spirit dwells. The outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost makes the church into a temple, a spiritual house indwelt by the Spirit of God. And through that indwelling Spirit, the Lord Jesus is present in the midst of his people. So at Pentecost, the church becomes a temple. That is certainly a new aspect of the Holy Spirit's work, which began at Pentecost. Before that, you had the buildings that were God's dwelling, the tabernacle and the temple. But now with Pentecost, it is the people, the church, that become the temple of God. But what else is new about the Spirit's work at Pentecost and in the New Testament church? What is the Spirit doing after Pentecost that he wasn't doing before? Well, I believe we get at least part of the answer in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 through 16, as we read our Lord's instructions to his disciples in the upper room. As Jesus taught his disciples in the upper room, he spoke to them in a wonderful way about the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit. In this section, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit as the counselor who is going to be given to his disciples. In some translations, that is rendered helper or comforter or advocate. Here in our NIV translation, the word is counselor. Notice what Jesus says in John 14, verses 16 through 17. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." You see the idea here. Jesus is no longer going to be physically present with his disciples. He's going away into heaven. But he's going to send another counselor or comforter. Jesus has been their counselor, but he's going to send another counselor, the Spirit of truth or the Holy Spirit, who will come and be with his disciples forever. And he is with the disciples now, but he is going to come to them and be with them in a new and special way forever. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." And here I believe we see a big part of the newness of the Spirit's ministry in the New Testament church. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to be our counselor. This had never happened before. Now, what does this new ministry of the Spirit look like? What does the Spirit do as our counselor or helper? Well, I want us to see two things together, two things about the ministry of the Holy Spirit as our counselor. In the first place, the Holy Spirit as our counselor points us to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. He shows us Jesus. He reveals Jesus. He draws our attention to Jesus. Now, how does he do this? First, we're told that the Spirit testifies to Jesus. I want you to again notice the words of Jesus in John 15, verse 26. He says, "When the Counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." So the Spirit will testify about Jesus. Now, what does it mean to testify? It means that you bear witness to something that you have heard or that you have known. You bear witness to it. The Spirit bears witness to the truth of Jesus. You know, as Christian people, we are, of course, called to testify to what God has done. We are to bear witness to the work of God in Jesus Christ. We are to testify, to tell people about Jesus. We tell people about what God has done in his Son. We bear witness to that truth. We, as the people of God, are called to bear witness to the truth of God. That's our calling and responsibility as believers. We are witnesses to the truth of God. And so it is with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He testifies to the truth concerning Jesus Christ. But then further, let's notice that the Spirit also teaches us the truth about Jesus. He is described here by Jesus as being the great teacher. He is the Spirit of truth, and he teaches people the truth about Jesus. Let's look at the second text that I read from earlier. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." Now, this doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit will teach us all there is to know about everything. It obviously is not saying that. No, the idea here is that the Spirit will present to us the truth about the Lord. We find the same idea in chapter 14, verse 26 of John, where Jesus says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So notice, Jesus says to his disciples, he will teach you all things. Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will help his disciples to remember all that he has said to them. The Holy Spirit, in his work as the promised counselor, teaches about Jesus. He teaches us about him. Now think about that for a moment. How is it that you have come to know the truth of Jesus? How have you come to know the truth about him? Is it because of your own intelligence? Is it because of your capability or ability? No, it's through the teaching ministry of the Spirit of God. That's how we have come to know Jesus. It's through the Spirit of God, working through the Word of God to impress his truth upon our minds and our hearts. Without the Holy Spirit, you would not know God's truth in Jesus. Without the Spirit, you would not embrace that truth from your heart. You would not know the truth, and you would not love the truth if it were not for the Spirit of truth working through the Word of God in your mind and your heart. But because of the teaching of the Spirit, you have come to know and love God's truth in Jesus Christ. That is what God's Spirit does for God's people. He teaches us and impresses upon us the truth about Jesus. And then notice also, the Spirit of God, in pointing us to Jesus, glorifies Jesus. Notice again the second text, John 16, verse 14. Jesus says, "He will bring glory to me." Now, what does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the glory of Jesus Christ. He will open our eyes to behold the glory of God in Jesus Christ. He will make us more aware of who this person is, who this Son of God truly is, leading us to praise and glorify him. Remember, there's no person in all of history like Jesus. There's no person who should amaze us like him. There's no person who we should be in awe of like him. And the Spirit helps us to recognize this. His work is to help us to see Jesus for who he truly is, so that we might love and worship our Savior. He glorifies Christ. The Spirit glorifies Christ by opening our eyes to the glory of Christ, that we might offer ourselves in praise to Christ. Brothers and sisters, have you seen that happen in your own lives? Has not the Holy Spirit opened your eyes to see the glory and beauty and majesty of Jesus Christ? Do you recognize who this person Jesus is? That he is the Son of God, the Lord of glory? And are you awed by what Christ has done for you, a poor sinner? Remember, you were separated from God, but Jesus Christ, according to the grace of God, Jesus Christ reconciled you to God. He shed his blood for you. He who knew no sin became sin, so that in him you and I might become the righteousness of God. Has not the Spirit helped us to see this? Is it not by the Spirit that we are able to see this? Do you now see the glory of the Lord Jesus and all that he has done? And do you now seek to honor him and praise him and glorify him? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work he does in God's people. He glorifies Christ, not by adding to Jesus' glory, but by enabling us to behold Jesus' glory, leading us to praise and honor him. We see who this person Jesus is, and we love him and praise him. That's the work of the Spirit in God's people. So the Holy Spirit, the counselor, in multiple ways points us to Jesus. He testifies to Jesus. He teaches us about Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. He points us to Jesus. And that's so important in understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. Now, as you may be aware, over the past century or so, there have been some Christian traditions that place a significant emphasis upon the work of the Spirit in terms of spiritual gifts and the baptism of the Spirit. In some Christian circles, there has been great emphasis upon such things as spiritual gifts in the life of the church, and that's all fine as far as it goes. But we can't lose sight of the truth that the Spirit points to Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that the Spirit bestows within the body of Christ, point to Jesus. They are to point us to the Savior. And if we miss that, then we're missing the counselor's ministry and the purpose of his ministry. The counselor was sent to point us to Jesus. Listen to how Dr. J.I. Packer speaks of this in his book, Keeping in Step with the Spirit. Dr. Packer compares the Spirit's work to that of a floodlight. Here's a story that he tells. He writes, "I remember walking to a church one winter evening to preach on the words, 'He shall glorify me.'" That's speaking about this, that the Spirit shall glorify Christ. Packer continues, "Seeing the building floodlit as I turned a corner and realizing that this was exactly the illustration my message needed. When floodlighting is well done, the floodlights are so placed that you do not see them. You're not, in fact, supposed to see where the light is coming from. What you're meant to see is just the building on which the floodlights are trained. The intended effect is to make it visible, when otherwise it would not be seen for the darkness, and to maximize its dignity by throwing all its details into relief so that you see it properly." Dr. Packer concludes that the Holy Spirit is like the hidden floodlight shining upon the Savior. I think that really sums up what our Lord Jesus is telling us in these passages about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not given, he was not bestowed upon us on the day of Pentecost to draw our attention to the Holy Spirit. He has not come to glorify the Holy Spirit, though the Spirit is infinite in glory. The Spirit came. He came to glorify our Lord. We're not looking at the Spirit's work and the Spirit's gifts properly if we're not directed, therefore, to Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit are not given to draw attention to the Spirit. They're not given to draw attention to us and to our gifts, but to Jesus. The point of the spiritual gifts, whether they be teaching or hospitality or evangelism or whatever they may be, is not to draw attention to the Spirit, and they're not to make ourselves look great. The goal of the spiritual gifts is to glorify Christ. The goal of a sermon is not to glorify the preacher. It is to glorify Christ and lead you to glorify Christ. The purpose of the Spirit's work in the church and in the lives of believers and in the spiritual gifts of believers is the glory of Jesus Christ. The counselor has come to point us to Christ so that Christ should be glorified. That's the Spirit's ministry. It is to present Jesus to us in all his glory and beauty. It's to point us to him, to teach us about him, and to glorify him, so that we as his people might glorify and adore him. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, is that your focus today? In whatever you do, Is your desire the glory of Christ, that He should be glorified? So that's the first thing today. The Holy Spirit points us to Christ. In the second place, I want you to see that the Holy Spirit, in pointing people to Christ, works through the people of Christ. In pointing people to Christ, in this ministry of pointing people to Christ, the Holy Spirit uses and works through the people of Christ. Now, we've already looked and seen that the Spirit points people to Jesus. He bears witness to Jesus. He teaches about Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. But how does the Spirit do this? The answer we see from our passage and from throughout the Scriptures is that He does these things through the Lord's people. He does these things by working through the Lord's people. That's what we see Jesus teaching His disciples in the upper room. The Spirit, He says, is going to come as the counselor. The Spirit is going to do this great work of pointing to people to Jesus. And in doing this great work of pointing to people to Jesus, He is going to use the disciples. He's going to work through the Lord's people. Listen again to John 15, verses 26 and 27. Jesus says, "When the Counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me." And notice, Jesus says, "And you also must testify, for you have been with Me from the beginning." So Jesus says that the disciples who receive the Spirit, the Spirit who testifies about Jesus, are also going to testify about Jesus. Listen also to what Jesus says in John 16, beginning in verse 7. He tells the disciples, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see Me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." So that Jesus says that when the Spirit comes, He's going to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. How is the Spirit going to do this? How is He going to bring this about? The answer is, He's going to do this through the ministry of the church. He's going to do this through His ministry within the church. Isn't that what we see in the life of the early church in the book of Acts? As you read through the pages of Acts, you find the church filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching Christ and bearing witness to Christ. Acts 4:31, we read, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Clothed with the Spirit, the church bore witness to Jesus Christ, and in doing so, they convicted the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. In carrying forth His ministry as the Comforter, the Holy Spirit uses us. He works through us. In glorifying Christ and teaching about Christ and witnessing to Christ, the Spirit works through the people of Christ. He uses us. He empowers us. He gives gifts to us. This is not simply a ministry that the Spirit does on His own, apart from the church. This is a ministry that the Spirit carries out through the church and through people like you and me. So we have a share in the Comforter's ministry. The Spirit bears witness to Jesus, and we, through the power of the Holy Spirit given to us, bear witness to Jesus. We tell people about Him and what He has done. The Spirit teaches about Jesus, and we, by the Spirit, teach people about Jesus. Of course, we do this in different ways. For some, it's going to be preaching. For some, it might be the ministry of preaching and teaching in the church. For some, it will be instructing our children in the things of God and teaching them the ways of Christ and the gospel of Christ. For some, it will be reaching out to friends and neighbors or co-workers. But it's all part of the Spirit's ministry. And as you do this, as you engage in this work of pointing people to Christ and teaching about them to Christ, and as people are being built up in Christ to give glory to Christ, that is the Holy Spirit's work through you. That is the Spirit's work through you, His work of pointing people to Christ. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, and we, by the power of the Spirit, glorify Jesus. Through the Spirit whom God has given to us, we are part of this great floodlight ministry. We're part of this great floodlight ministry, putting that light, shining that light upon our Lord through the help of the Spirit who's been given to us. Our goal as believers, our goal as Christians, is not to draw attention to ourselves. We're not to make ourselves look great in the eyes of the world, and we don't want to be the stumbling block that gets in the way of people seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, our goal is that through us, the Holy Spirit would enable people to see Jesus, to know Jesus, to hear the gospel. That through us, people would look to Jesus and give glory to Jesus, the Savior, and praise Him. We want Christ to be glorified through us. We want to make Him look good by proclaiming His name and worshiping Him and declaring His righteousness to all people so that the Holy Spirit would convict the world and change people's hearts for Christ. That's why the gift of the Spirit is so connected to the mission of the church. We're called in the Great Commission, of course, to bear witness to Christ and to teach the nations, and to build people up in Jesus. And we do that work as the church through the counselor who has been given to us and who is at work in our midst and who works through us, the Lord's people. And may the Lord help us to be faithful to do our part in this work. May He help us to be faithful and zealous for the mission through which He empowers us by His Spirit. So brothers and sisters in the Lord, Pentecost is not about the Spirit beginning to work among God's people. Pentecost is about the Spirit working in new ways among God's people. The Spirit's work in the church reflects the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, His resurrection and His ascension to the right hand of God, and the great mission that God has given to the church in the Great Commission. The Spirit's work in the church today reflects that great transition that occurred with the coming of Jesus and the establishment of the New Testament church. And so we live in this new day of the counselor's mission in the church. We live in light of all the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in the upper room, about Him being the counselor and about Him testifying and bringing glory to Christ. And because the Spirit is at work in us, we get to have our part in that work. Jesus' words in the upper room are of course, especially concerned with the first disciples who would go on to minister in the name of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. But they also relate to us today. We are Jesus' witnesses. We are His teachers. We are to glorify Him and be the instrument of causing others to glorify Him. And so let us go forth and do these things by faith and in the power of the Spirit whom the Lord Jesus has given to us. Amen.